pandemic. I was coming back from work or something like that. And, you know, it's just, if you guys ever rode the Metro, it's sometimes it's awkward. You know, there's people just standing there, and it's like, where am I supposed to look without being awkward? There's nothing to do sometimes, and you're kind of cramped in there. And I just remember, like, my hand, I don't know if you guys, my hand was, like, kind of going like this, like, into my pocket, and I'm, like, already, like, fiddling with my phone without even knowing that I was doing it. I was like this, and I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, why did I do that, right? And so that's been a kind of an image that keeps coming to my mind, because in that situation, right, you saw that Frodo was uncomfortable. He was kind of like, okay, there's this guy on this dark horse here, and he's right above us, and so he's scared, and what he's doing is he's tempted to kind of put on this ring, right? As he's like, just I gotta put it on just to escape and to just escape the situation where I'm in fear and worried about what's going to happen. But I was doing the same thing with my phone, like on the Metro. Like, it was awkward. I didn't know what to do. There's people just standing around, looking around, and I was like, okay, just kind of my hand just automatically would reach for my phone. And even now, when I'm working and I need to take a break, the temptation is just like, okay, let me just go on my phone or just start scrolling through mindless videos and going down this rabbit hole, right? So what the Lord has been speaking to me lately was, there's a better source. There's a better place where you can find your rest. There's a better place that you can go when you're stressed, when you're burdened, when you're anxious. And sometimes I think for myself, and I'm sure for many of you, it's like sometimes I feel uncomfortable with the silence because of my own thoughts and where they might take me, right? Especially when I'm stressed, especially when I'm anxious, especially when there's things on my plate that I'm juggling so many things, it's almost easier to go into this rabbit hole of just watching mindless videos on my phone. And it's not just the phone. This could be anything that you find your kind of rest in, right? So where do you go in those moments where you're stressed, you're burdened, you're just kind of like, I just need to get away from this, like whatever this is. And for me, it's just been lately my phone, right? And so it typically is like YouTube or checking my email, checking my Facebook, you know, and just I find something that's, oh, that's kind of interesting, and I'll look at that, and it takes you to the next video, it takes you to the next thing, and before you know it, it's like been a while, right? And then afterwards, I actually feel even crankier. I feel even more moodier than I was before, right? And so that's something that I want to get into today is this idea of where we were created to find our rest, that there's a better option, right? There's a better option for us to go to, right? And I'm not saying, you know, phones are evil. I'm not saying that. I mean, phones is a luxury. It's a blessing to have. But just with anything that is there, it can turn into something that is a negative, something that would turn you away from walking with Christ. And that's why I'm saying the Lord offers us a better option. So even now, as I begin my message, I'm going to have you guys take your phones, okay? And I'm going to have you place them upside down, like face down, somewhere away from you. I know people need to, like, you know, maybe you need something going on, but just we're going to try. And if you start feeling anxious, like, oh, I just want to reach for my phone, then you might have a problem like me, okay? So I'm going to put mine away. I'm not going to know how long I'm going to preach for because I don't have a clock now. But I don't think it'll be like a couple hours, so. Yeah, so see, how do you feel? How do you feel? You guys feel like, ooh, I'm anxious now. I'm disconnected, right? Okay, well, we're here, okay? We're in this together. And so today I'm going to talk about this theme of rest, and we're going to look at Hebrews 4. And the word you might have remembered is the Sabbath, right? In Hebrews, Sabbath. And this word means to rest or cease from work, to rest or stop or cease from work. And so we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm going to begin by just going through this together. And there may be times I'm going to just pause and just kind of expound on some things. So verse 1, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. So just pausing right there, that key to entering the rest of God is faith. Okay, we'll come back to that. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day God rested from all his works. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. And that word today, capitalized, again, it means, it's a word of that symbolizes, is a word of grace. And it means like a daily, like a, not just today as in like October or whatever it is. It means like a daily access. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, and there's that word today, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Let us therefore make every... Whoops, okay. You're throwing me off now. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Amen. Thank you, Mike. Amen. So there's a lot there to kind of unpack, and I'm going to do my best to kind of touch upon the main points here. Right, so again, God gives us the grace to help us in our time of need. And that word, again, today is a term of grace, meaning daily. It's access to, it has, there's an access for us to enter into God's rest daily. And this, when we talk about Sabbath and the rest of God, there's several different dimensions, several different layers to this rest, right? And we're going to touch upon these, right? And to do so, I'm going to look at, this is from Hebrews, towards the end of the Bible. But the theme of rest, you can find out throughout, starting with the account of creation in Genesis. If you remember the creation narrative, right? The first 6 days, he's creating, he's populating the earth. And on the seventh day, he what? He rested. And it wasn't a rest because he was physically tired or he was just exhausted. It wasn't that. It was that that creation was completed. The creation was finished. And therefore, he could rest with that work, with that labor of creation, and then he could rest with his creation, and this creation could rest with him in a mutual fellowship, right? So there's this seventh day idea where the presence of God could be with his creation. And fast forward to the story of Moses. After they come out of Egypt, you know, they go to Mount Sinai, and then he's given the Ten Commandments. And the fourth commandment is regarding the Sabbath rest, right? You shall keep the seventh day holy. And this is to his people Israel, right? The people of Israel were to keep the seventh day holy, where they were going to cease from their work that they were doing on those first 6 days, to set aside this day, which traditionally is Saturday, to rest from their work and to be resting with God in his presence, right? And they were commanded on this day to remember what God did for them in letting them out of Egypt. What God did for them in bringing them out. Because just the Israelites, just like many of us, we can forget. We can forget what God has done for us in the past. We can forget the faithfulness and the goodness of the Lord over time. As we get caught up in the busyness of life, he knows us. He knows how we were made. He knows how we operate, that we are creatures who tend to forget. We tend to forget even the blessings that he gave to us earlier this year. We are so caught up in our day-to-day that we can just not recall, not even come to, the faithfulness of the Lord just doesn't come back to mind, and we get caught up in the struggle once again. But this was set up so that the people of God could remember, hey, this is what God did for you, the mighty works that he did for you in Egypt. And this is a time where you can come together as a community to rest in that revelation and rest in that promise and rest in his presence. Now, there was another rest that was promised to the people of Israel. And it was when the people of Israel came out of Egypt, they came to the border of the promised land. And this land, the land of Canaan, where they were going to cross the Jordan River, would have been a place for the people of Israel to rest. Remember, they were in Egypt for 400 or so years under captivity of the Egyptians. They didn't have a land to call their own. They were under oppression. But now God has set them free and was going to give them a place where the people could call their own, that they could rest in this land of Canaan. And if you remember the story of Joshua, first it was Moses, and Moses came to the edge of the Jordan, and they sent in the 12 spies. Now 10 of them came back with this negative report. Oh, there's giants in the land. We can never overtake them. But the two, Joshua and Caleb, said, no, we can take this land because God has promised us this land. But what did the people do? The people chose to follow the narrative of the 10 spies. So they grumbled. Some of them complained they'd rather go back to Egypt. And then the people of Israel basically rebelled against God and his promises. And because of that, that generation never got to go into this promised land. Right? They were walking around the desert for 40 years. And this is kind of what this passage was referring to, that if you've heard his promises, you have that option to enter into that rest. Right? And so that was during that time. But interesting kind of note, that name Joshua, the Hebrew name Joshua or Yeshua is in Greek what we say Jesus, what we call Jesus. Right? And Jesus brings us to another rest. Not one of land, but one of an eternal promise. So Jesus also is the one who's bringing us into this eternal rest that God provides. So we have now this Sabbath rest in Christ. Okay, there's a present and a future dimension to this rest that Christ provides. We remember that he called himself the Lord of the Sabbath. He said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I am the one who is the Lord of this Sabbath rest. Rest from their labor. So it's a rest to the people of Israel. If you remember, they had the commandments, the instructions that God gave them to live by. And there was Pharisees and Sadducees in that day who even added their own kind of conditions to this law. And it was a burden for the people. You know, people who authentically were trying to live according to God's will, they were just burdened with all these things, all these regulations, all these laws, all these things that the Pharisees were kind of bringing upon the people. And now, because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, there is a rest from that. It's an act, again, accessed by faith. Faith in Jesus. If you have faith in Jesus, you are set free from all these burdens and all these things that weigh you down. Things we don't have to strive to try to be with God. We don't have to strive to try to enter into his kingdom. Actually, we can't. No matter how hard we try, we're going to fall short. Right? We're all going to fall short of the glory of God. And so this is why Jesus had to come. By his death and resurrection on the cross, and our access through faith in Jesus, we can come into this rest that we are promised. And so again, faith is the key. Faith is the important piece in entering this rest. And so it mentions here, the passage also talks about this, the Word of God. The Word of God being sharper than any two-edged sword and dividing from bone and marrow. And right, so the Word actually gives us the right proper perspective of who God is, of what this rest is, and it's a key for our own faith even, right? We want to have faith in what is true, right? And so when the Lord gave us his word. He gives us his word. We obey. We surrender. We submit. But it's like without the word of God, how we know kind of which way we're supposed to kind of surrender to? How are we going to surrender? How are we going to come and access this truth that God provides? So we are given access to this rest through our faith in Jesus, right? So at the moment of our salvation, at the moment we confess that Jesus is our Lord, that we believe in our hearts that he rose from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that he is Lord, we are given this gift of salvation. And so from that moment, our names are written in the book of life. We have access to this eternal rest that is what God provided for us. And if you remember back in the garden, right? Back in the garden, it was Adam and Eve with the Lord. They were in his presence. They were in his presence already. They were resting. They were not burdened or anxious or weary. They were in the full rest of the Lord. But at the same time, they were also told to take dominion of the land. They were supposed to take dominion over the creatures and basically be God's representative to creation, right? But it wasn't until after the fall that it became a laborious thing, right? So I'm going to read real quick from Genesis 3, and we're going to see this picture. Okay, from Genesis 3, verse 17, it says, "And to the man he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So you see, especially verse 19, it says, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread." So it's basically just showing you that the ground is not going to produce for them the same way anymore. And to actually have this bread, this sustenance, you're going to have to work for it and have to sweat. So it's a picture of these tasks that we are called to do, but now it's done in separation from the presence of God. And so now we come to the reality after Christ died for us on the cross, that we still have things to do, right? But there's this access that we have as children of God to this rest. And again, this access to rest is not based off of what we can do, not based off of our work, but because of our faith in Jesus. And this faith is accessed, it's accessed once we're saved, but it's also accessed in our day-to-day, right? It's always there for us. So in the fullness of rest is found in Christ for eternity, right? So this is the reason why after we pass, we will enter into the fullness of God's presence again. Like Adam and Eve were in the presence of God, we are going to be in the presence of God in fullness again. But even now, we can access that presence of God, because in the presence of God is where we find our rest, right? And so, while they were in the fullness of God's presence, they didn't have the challenges and things that we're going through right now in our lives. But again, at the end of this, it talks about how we have a great high priest who's not unaware of our situation, who's not unaware of our challenges, because he lived amongst us. He's been through it, right? So he can sympathize. He can empathize with our situations. And so, you know, lately in our midst, we've heard a lot about, you know, saints who have passed on into eternity. Most recently, on the 6th, Lauren Cunningham, who was the founder of Youth with a Mission, YWAM. I think it's either the largest or one of the largest mission sending organizations in the world, where like millions of lives have been impacted through this ministry. And he's had his hands in so many things, right? Like, but the people that know him have commended the fact that he's been so humble. He's been so relatable. He hasn't like carried himself like I'm greater than thou. It's just an amazing man of God. And when he passed, like I, of course, you know, we kind of knew that it was coming because he's been fighting with cancer for a while. But when he had passed, it's like I almost feel like it's more like a celebration, a celebratory feeling of where he is right now. Someone who's worked so hard for the kingdom of God, like so many days, hours, weeks, months, years of his life given towards this cause of knowing Jesus and making him known. Right? So he's touched so many lives, and now he's in the presence of the Lord in its fullness. I almost imagine just him entering, you know, into the presence of God and just rejoicing and just being just free. Right? And so we celebrate those who have passed on, who have a relationship with Jesus. Why we celebrate those that have gone before us, because we know that there's eternal rest that they've entered. And so this is something that's promised to each and every one of us who have called upon the name of the Lord. Right? And so as we journey this life, again, I remember Miko was talking about when he preached a few weeks ago, he talked about how we're supposed to pray continuously. And he says every time we turn our hearts to Jesus, every time we focus our thoughts and minds on Jesus, we are actually in prayer. Right? Throughout the day, you can just, you know, whatever you're doing, whether you're on the metro, you're at work, you could be like, "Oh, Jesus." And there, you're already in prayer. Every time your hearts and thoughts go towards Jesus, it's prayer. And in the same way, we can access the presence of God, the rest of God, in our day-to-day. So what I found, I mean, again, this is something that the Lord has been speaking to me lately. And it's that in those times where I'm working and I'm stressed out or I'm busy with and anxious, there's a better option, right? There's a better option for me to find my rest. And so, you know, I've been doing little steps here and there to kind of engage with the Lord and remind myself, hey, that the Lord is always there. That access to our rest is ready for us today. It's always there. We just sometimes don't tap into it. You know, the bread of life, the living water, he's always there. Right? So when those times like, oh, I'm going to take a break from my work, you know, instead of just, okay, let me just lay down on the couch and just let me just check something on my phone. I've been trying to be intentional and just be like, Lord, I'm here. You're here. And I'm, you know, it's in this process, right? Because it's forming a new habit. It's forming a new habit. But I will say that I've been at much more peace doing this than where I was at before. I feel more at peace. I feel more at rest because of, wow, the Lord is here. And there's a spiritual reality that we can't see because as I've been listening to people's testimonies, the people who have, you know, before they were Christians or even maybe early on in their walk with God, they were dealing with the demonic, right? And I've heard stories or testimonies where, you know, they would see a demon in their room, right? And whether they had a relationship with Jesus or not, they just somehow knew to call upon the name of Jesus. And I remember the latest one I heard, the guy was like, "Jesus, like I need your help," pretty much, "Jesus." And he said at that moment, like he saw a light kind of appear in his room and the demons just flee. And then, you know, after a few more weeks or something like that, he actually gave his life to Christ. So there is this reality where like the moment that that person called upon the name of Jesus, not even knowing the full context of what that means, the demons had to flee. And in the same way, when we call upon the name of Jesus, there's this instant, hey, we're reconnected to our Lord. We are reconnected and engaging with him. And whether we see it or not, there is this reality of the presence of the Lord as we acknowledge him, as our thoughts and our hearts focus on him, as we call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus is there. The Lord is there. The rest that we need is there. And especially if you look at the world today, you know there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. There's, you know, you hear about things in the nations. You hear about people struggling with depression, anxiety, drugs, just you name it, it's there. And I feel like things are just getting more heightened, right? But let that not be the church. Let that not be the ones who know the Lord. Let us not forget and have faith in the power of our God, the faith in the reality of our God, that when we call upon him, he's there. Like, he's literally there, whether we see it with our natural eyes or not. And that is truly the source of our rest. And, you know, I think sometimes we feel like, I mean, this is me, again, thinking in the natural, is like, when I'm busy and I'm caught up and I'm stressed out with something, let's say a work task, I just need to get my mind off it for a little bit. And I'm not saying, like, you know, you can never look at your phone, you can never turn on the TV. It's not that. It's just, where do we go to when we truly need our rest? And doing things like flipping through the phone, turning on the TV, or whatever other thing you've been going to, is that it ultimately won't provide us what we need. It ultimately won't provide us what we need. It's almost a way of escaping. And that's not the example, really, that's not the example that Jesus gave us. He never tried to escape. He went through it, right? He actually went through the cross. He actually went through the challenge that was presented before him. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So we are called to follow his example. You know, it's actually, again, I've been doing, for my podcast, I've been interviewing or talking about, you know, Buddhism and coming from that background. And the philosophy of Buddhism is almost like an escapism, right? Just kind of get rid of all the attachments in your life so that you won't, if you don't have any attachments, when they're gone, you're not going to suffer, right? Or I'll just go to, like, the monks, right? That's like the highest ideal of your journey, is to actually go into the monkhood, get rid of all attachments, and ultimately escape from suffering. And the nirvana, which is what they're striving for, is not heaven the way we think of it. It's just not being born again into this cycle of suffering. And so it's a way to escape. But again, for me, growing through this journey, I'm like, where's my hope? Is that really my hope, to escape? That's not what Jesus calls us to. Jesus calls us to overcome. He calls us to go through it, right? And so when we try to escape the stresses of life through phones, through whatever it may be, it's ultimately not ideal. We go through it. We say, Lord, I'm here and I need you. Jesus, you are my rest. I come before you. I invite you into this situation. And you rest, right? It doesn't mean you just lay on your couch. That's not what the rest we mean is. It's engaging with the Lord, right? And being in his presence. It's all about the presence of the Lord. In his presence, we are whole. In his presence, we find our rest. And again, that presence in its fullness will come to us when we pass away, when we go into eternity. We will enjoy the fullness of that rest at that moment. But in the meantime, just like we say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're inviting the kingdom of God here on earth, right? The kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Now, until the new earth and the new heavens and new earth come, it won't be in its fullness, but we have access to that now. We can bring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In the same way, we can access that rest here on earth as it is in heaven. And just another thought is, you know, having two young kids, for those of you who have children, for those of you who are raising kids, if this is something that you're struggling with, right? Maybe your kids are still young like mine. But if this is something that you're still struggling with, where you're accessing your rest, you know, where will they turn to as for themselves? It's hard to say, hey, don't do this when you yourselves are doing it, right? So, you know, Amy and I have kind of come up with this thing where we try not to use our phones in front of the kids. And, you know, it ends up happening anyway. But I remember one time Elliot came up to me and he said, Daddy, why are you always working? Right? And I'm like, what do you mean? It was basically the evening, right? Work was done. He said, why are you always working? I was like, and I kind of was like, wait a minute. I said, because I'm on my phone? He said, yeah. He said, why are you always working? And I was like, conviction, right? And then I was like, just out of curiosity, like, who's on their phone more, me or mom? And then he goes, you, Dad? I was like, oh, man. So I was like, oh. So, you know, that's something that I've been working on myself, right? And so, yeah, there's things we have to do. There's things that we have to do, you know, through our phones. But it's almost like we won't have that greater authority until we overcome it ourselves, right? Because if we don't want our kids to always be on the screen, if we don't want our kids to, you know, in the teenage years to always be engaged in whatever online, like we have to set an example. We have to ourselves overcome that temptation. Again, the internet is not evil. Phone's not evil. It's just how we use those things, right? And so I don't know how long I've been going, but like I said, it's going to be a time where I would like to just have us engage with the Lord together. I'm going to invite Anna and Chris to come back up. What we're going to do is we're going to spend some time. We're going to spend some time resting in the Lord together. I'm going to have them lead us in worship. And I know sometimes we are uncomfortable with not, quote unquote, doing anything. We are sometimes uncomfortable with just being still. Right? But we're going to get comfortable. We're going to get comfortable just being in the Lord's presence. Now, we may have things that we have to do after this service. We may be thinking about, oh, when are our kids going to be done with their thing? But we're going to put that aside, right? We're going to put that aside right now. And we're going to just exercise this gift of faith to access Him right now. He's already here. His presence is already here. But we're going to access Him and access this rest.